The Bible says in John chapter 4 and verse number 24, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Verse number 23 says of the B clause, for God seeketh such to worship him. And so we are here this morning for none other purpose than to worship God in spirit and in truth. You are not here because you don't have nothing to do. Amen, somebody. Amen. I hope you are here because you love the Lord. The psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He also said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So if God has been good to you, somebody ought to say something. Amen, somebody. It is good to be in the great city of Houston, Texas. My family and I, we have been replaced again by a job promotion. Amen, somebody. For those of you who don't know, I was here. I spoke here back in 2011. Some of you may have remembered that, and some of you may have not.
Amen.
I ministered at the Anderson Street Church in Sealy, just 15 minutes west of Katy. And Brother Gary and I have been good friends for quite some time, and it is very humbling for him to invite me to come speak in his absence. So that says that he trusts me. Amen.
Amen.
We have some fishy business going around our brotherhood.
Amen.
Y'all say amen. It's all right to say amen. And so we appreciate him having the confidence in us to stand and to proclaim God's everlasting word. I appreciate the eldership, leadership of this congregation for giving me the opportunity. And also those who minister with Brother Gary, they could have been standing here, but we appreciate their kind gesture for allowing me to stand this morning. I want my wife, she fusses me all the time, but I have to let you know who she is. That's for the brothers. Amen, somebody. Amen. Now, I'm from Louisiana, and we don't mind protecting our stuff from Louisiana. Is that all right? So, honey, raise your hand. That's my queen of 20 plus years, and my daughters are sitting next to her. We have one more child. He's my son. And also, I have two grandkids. Now, you may be looking at me, and I can just hear the voices saying, well, you don't look that old to have some grandkids. I'll tell you the story in the back if you want to know. But all of them are mine. Amen. Original. One wife, three kids, and they're all mine, and all their last name is Wilson. Amen, somebody. Amen. So it's good. We have some work to do. Let's get to work. I will be reading from the New American Standard version of the Bible. And my scripture references will come from the easy to read version later on in the message. I don't know if you all are familiar with the easy to read version. It's a good version for those who don't have much Bible experience. It breaks the scriptures down just a little bit more. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, and I will terminate at verse number 6. We stand where I preach, where I used to preach. if y'all don't mind standing for the reading of the word, if you are able to stand. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. So that which is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Amen. You can have your seats. Thank you. I want to place emphasis on verse number 6, a very familiar passage of scripture, and I know that it is dangerous to preach from familiar passages because we think that we already know what it's talking about. But if you just would allow me just to borrow the blackboards of your mind just for a few minutes, I want to concentrate on the phrase, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. The book of Hebrews is most interesting because it gives us hope and the amazing story of redemption and atonement. The author, although unknown, the content of the book points us to Jesus Christ. The writer draws a comparative contrast analysis of the Old Testament and New Testament in that we are shown that we cannot approach God on the basis of Old Testament law, but rather we approach God by New Testament faith. One of the key words in the book of Hebrews is better. We are reminded that we are under a better covenant with better promises. Why? Because the Christians in the book of Hebrews wanted to go back under the covenant of under the Mosaic covenant because of persecution. And can I remind you, church, that sometimes trouble can cause you to question your faith. So the writer here reminds them that Christ is better. He's better than the angels because the angels worship him. He's better than Moses because he created him. He's better than the Aaronic priesthood because his sacrifice was once and for all. He is better than the law because he mediates a better covenant. And so what is the writer is saying is that there is more to gain in Christ than to be lost in Judaism. Let me remind you today that although you may not be where you would like to be, although you may have had some disappointments, some detours, some delays, and some doubts in your life, the fact that you are in Christ is better than being in the world. Amen. The subject this morning for your consideration, I still believe in God. I still believe in God. Beloved, let me suggest to you that when I say I still believe in God, I am not here trying to give you a lesson in apologetics about the existence of God, because I would hope that those of us who are here, we believe in God. Amen?
Amen.
But rather, when I say I believe in God, it is a proposition that's stated in a declarative form. A declarative statement don't have to be proven. And when I say apologetics, I'm not trying to defend to anybody that God exists. I believe, beloved, it is safe to say that we live in a society where many people are questioning their faith. Y'all agree with that?
Amen.
Of course, this morning, there is nothing new, because it seems as though it is more mainstream than ever before. Our spirituality has been desensitized by fabrication and sensationalism in this postmodernistic world. Preacher, what do you mean when you say that? I mean that we are more tolerable to sin these days than we once were. Because we have been taught unconsciously that there is nothing wrong with wrong. Some of y'all gonna catch that on your way home. Listen, that was a time, church, when we could watch ABC and CBS and BET and not have to worry about sending our kids in the bedroom to be protected from vile and ludicrous acts on television. But you can't do that anymore, because you never know what is going to happen. And so sin has taken its stand. So the believer in Christ has to let the world know that God is still on the throne. And although we may not admit it, we need God. In a world where we are falling further and further away from the will, the ways, and the worship of God, I still believe in God. In a day where sexual transmitted diseases are running rampant because of disobedient people, I need you to know, Fit Ward, that our society needs God. In a day where we have lost our moral integrity in the workplace, in the marketplace, and in the schoolhouse, I need you to know that we need God. In a day when teenage pregnancy is a normal thing, we need God. In a day when it's easier for a teenager to buy a gun than enroll in college, we need God. In a day when single parent homes have become the norm of society, we need God. And a day of random floods and earthquakes and tornadoes, we need God. And a day with the Me Too movement and toxic masculinity, we need God. And a day when it's normal for cops to use live people as shooting targets only to get paid time off, we need God. When our young black men can't make a complete sentence and don't know what a belt is used for, but can't pronounce every word to a rap song, we need God. In a day when it's more feasible to build a prison than to build a school or a youth center or other businesses because our youth are more in jail than in school, we need God. In a day when churches have become places of entertainment, fashion shows and social settings, competition, and even sometimes a disrespect for the word of God, we need God. We need God. You can remember when you was a child, the devil is messing with me. There were some fictional characters. Growing up when you was a kid, y'all remember Santa Claus? Santa Claus, they told us he was jolly. And I don't mean in disrespect, but this is what we were told, that he was a jolly, big white man, lived in a North Pole. He delivered gifts on one day out of the year, came down the chimney, and he was flown around the world with reindeers. y'all remember that? And then there was another character, the tooth fairy. When you lost the tooth, you place your tooth under the pillow. And I remember one time, boy, my mother, she gave me $3. That was a lot of money back then. I thought I was rich. But then we found out late on in life that there is no such thing as Santa Claus, and that reindeers don't fly. Y'all didn't know reindeers don't fly, right? And then as we got older, we understood that there was no such thing as a tooth fairy, that you were the tooth fairy. And then when it's time to start giving your kids some money for broken and fallen tooth, you started to have to tell them, listen, the tooth fairy is no longer real, honey. But that was another character. As a young child coming up, we were told by our parents that his name was God, that he was somewhere up in the heaven sky, and that he could see everything at the same time, and that he had all the power in the world, and that he could dispense his power and do whatever he want whenever he wanted. See, they didn't understand the hermeneutical term for God, that he was omnipresent, that he was omniscient or omniscience, and that he was omnipotent. They didn't understand those hermeneutical terms, and so all they could do was tell us that God was somewhere up in heaven sky, and that he was all powerful, that he was all seeing, and that he was all knowing. All they could tell us is that God was the one that was responsible for the rain. He was the one that we responsible for the wind. He was the one that was responsible for waking us up. He was the one that was responsible for giving us the strength to go in and to come out. And all we understood that he was God. And although we outgrew Santa and we outgrew the tooth fairy, we have never come to outgrow who God is. And so Hebrews tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who seek him. Listen, you have to believe, church, in the isness of God. God is what he was. Are y'all following me? He was what he is. And he is what he will. Somebody say it will be. Amen. That's right. He is what he will be. In other words, God transcends time. You cannot put God in a time frame, because God is. Are y'all following me? John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. The issue of who we are, church, is wrapped up into who he is. Acts 17 verse 28, the Bible says, for in him we live and move and have our being. Now let me drop you these 3 points and then we'll be done. There's more than 3 points in the text, but time won't allow us to do all that. So I'll just give you 3, and then we'll be on our way. Brother Wilson, how do we prove our belief in God? 3 things. And I hope this helps you. Number 1, you prove your belief in God by your work for God. Number 2, you prove your belief in God by your worship to God. And then number 3, you prove your belief in God by your walk with God. Did y'all get that? Look at Hebrews 11, verse 24 for me. Hebrews 11, 24 and 25. This is from the IRV. I call it the IRV version. That doesn't mean I wrote it. That's the initials. ERV. The Bible says Moses grew up and became a man. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose not to enjoy the pleasures of sin that last such a short time. Instead, he chose to suffer with God's people. He did this because he had faith. Moses grew up and became a man. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he chose to suffer with God's people. And he did it because he had faith. Listen, when you work for God, there's some sacrifice involved in working for God. There's some suffering involved in working for God. And there's some service involved in working for God. Listen, you cannot work for God and be successful working for God without putting God first. Every now and then, the child of God will have to learn how to sacrifice for God. Didn't God sacrifice for us? I mean, didn't God give his only begotten son so that we could have a right to eternal life? That was called a sacrifice. And listen, church, every now and then, the Christian will have to learn how to sacrifice for God. See, your Christian walk is a walk of service. If we are not being of service to somebody, then I want to encourage you to see what is going on. Because your walk should have some service to go along with it. Your work. And then we don't like this one. We don't like this one at all. We don't like suffering, right? If you like suffering, raise your hand. None of us like suffering. But the Bible says about Jesus, although he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he what? Suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that do what? Obey him. And so if Jesus had to suffer, listen, beloved, every now and then, you and I, we're going to have to suffer. And sometimes the suffering is physical. Sometimes the suffering is spiritual. Sometimes the suffering is emotional. You don't know how you're going to suffer. But just remember, when you are suffering, or you have to go through some type of suffering, that God will always be with you. And I think sometimes we forget that God is still in the plan. God is still in the plan. And then number 2. Your belief in God is proven by your worship to God. Listen to the Bible in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2. Paul says, "So I beg you, brothers and sisters, because of the great mercy God has shown us, offer your lives as a living sacrifice to him. An offering that is only, I like the way this reads, an offering that is only for God and pleasing to him. Considering what he has done, it is only right that you should worship him in this way. Don't change yourselves to be like the people of the world, but let God change you inside with new way of thinking. Then you will be able to understand and accept what God wants for you. You will be able to know what is good and pleasing to him and what is perfect. So listen, our belief in God is cemented by how we worship God. Let me just drop this. You know, it's difficult for me to believe that people trust God and believe God when worship becomes something of convenience. this is something, church, that should be a part of our lives. It is not something that we do because we don't have nothing else to do on a Sunday morning. This is something that you and I do because God deserves nothing more, nothing less. And so when we understand that worship is not about us, worship is to God and for God. Worship is not about entertainment, but rather it's about education and edification. We come here to learn about what God wants us to do to please him. And we come here not only to learn what God wants us to do, but we come here to get a word from the Lord. We are here to be edified. We are here to build up one another. And you cannot do that on your couch at your house. And so worship is for God. It is more than performing 5 acts of worship and making sure you have your crackers and your juice and you feel good about going home. Amen, somebody. And so when we learn how good God has been to us and how good God is, there is no place I would rather be than in worship. On any day of the week. Amen, somebody. And then lastly, our belief in God is wrapped up or cemented by our walk with God. Hebrews 11, verse 5. The Bible says Enoch was carried away from this earth, so he never died. Genesis 5:22, the Bible says, and Enoch walked with God. Our walk, church, is, or should be rather, intentional and inspirational. That means when I walk with God, I walk with God with a purpose. This is, see, if you don't have a purpose in your walk for God, you're just taking a stroll. And so when we walk with God, we have to understand that our walk is intentional. That means we walk with God with a purpose. I'm expecting God to bless me. I'm expecting God to guide my footsteps. This is not just some casual stroll. I walk with God because I trust God. And every now and then, when it seems like the world under me is crumbling, I know God is able to bring me through. And so when I walk with God. There is a purpose in my life. I'm seeking God for a better life. I'm following God because there is no one else I'd rather follow. I'm following God because he makes my crooked way straight. I'm following God because he simply deserves my praise. I walk with God, church, not just to get blessed, but I walk with God because I'm blessed. I walk with God because he gave me his only begotten son. I walk with God because in times of trouble, he is my peace. I walk with God because in times of despair, he is my deliverer. I walk with God because he loves me, he sees me, he helps me, he heals me, he saves me, he speaks to me, he blesses me, he teaches me, he watches me, he answers me. Y'all gonna help me along in here? He defends me, he forgives me, he provides for me, he remakes me, he redeems me, he responds to me, and he supports me. I walk with God because he loves me. And my walk with God is inspirational. That means God is leading me. Listen, if God doesn't lead you in this life, somebody will. Preach, Brother Wilson. I ain't preaching in over 2 months. I'm just warming up, but it's time to stop right now. Amen. 11:15 gonna get it better than you. I'm sorry, y'all. Hopefully, invite me back, and then I'll be on gear number 3 by then. And so I still believe in God. So I asked you a question this morning, Fifth Ward. You may be looking and listening and saying, well, Bro Wilson, I never experienced not believing in God. And maybe you haven't, and that's a good thing. The way the world is set up today, I'm going to tell you something. My daughter is getting ready to go to, we're going to drop her in Monroe, Louisiana on August 16th. And I'll pick at all the time. I say, I just can't wait till y'all get out of here because they eat everything. I can't go in the restroom because they knock on the door. Daddy, I need to come in, like as if I don't need to go be in. And so I'm going to drop her to, well, we are going to drop her to ULM. And don't you know, and that's for all of you who will be enrolling in somebody's college or university. There are some professors, listen to me real good, that will be teaching your children that don't believe in God. And if their faith is not cemented before they leave the house, they will come back talking some crazy stuff. And if you are not ready to defend who God is, you may lose your child. And see, this is where this humanism comes in, and this postmodernistic world that we live in, you know, everything is now is intelligent based. And those who tell us that we are Christians because we cannot think. Well, listen, Christian, you can't be a Christian if you don't think. Preach, Brother Wilson. And so you have to make sure that when your kids leave the house, that they are grounded and rooted in God. And so you may think, well, this is something simple. No, it's not. Because we are dealing, listen, we are living in a world that is falling further and further away from the will of God. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to strengthen your faith. I want to encourage you that when trouble comes your way, that you have a God that has all power. I want to encourage you that when trouble comes your way, that you have a God that is able to make a way out of no way. Amen. When I preached my first sermon, I was 18 years old. And there's a whole lot of stuff I used to say that I knew what I was talking about. But 20 plus years of marriage, 3 kids, 2 grandkids, and 1 on the way, I forgot to add. Yeah, life has taught me a whole lot. And so now when I say God is good, I'm not just saying that because somebody else said, I am telling you that because God has been good to me. And when I tell you God is good all the time, even when you don't have any money, when you are sick, when somebody have left you, God is still good. See, only life can teach you that. And when God has taken you out some stuff and you know it's nobody but Him, God is good. And so when I tell you I still believe in God, yeah, I still believe in God. And so perchance if you are here and you are not a Christian, we believe, the churches of Christ believe, in the verbal, plenary, inerrant inspiration of the Word of God. That means that God spoke it. And that God's Word is authoritative. And that God's Word is without error. That's what we believe. Now listen, if the atheists can tell you there is no God, I can prove the Bible to tell you there is a God. Preach, Brother Wilson. It's time to stop. I'm going to stop. The Bible says, confess your faith in Christ. Believe that He is. Repent of your sins. Turn away from those things you know is wrong. And be buried in the watery grave of baptism. God will add you to His church. Be faithful until death. And Jesus says, I will give you a crown of life that never fades away. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know if you have been struggling with your faith. And if you have, we will pray for you. That God will strengthen your faith. I don't know if you've been struggling with your family. If you have, we'll pray for you. That God strengthens your family. Whatever your needs may be, bid you to come now as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the seas heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me.